EBOO.FM. Coming up next is Air Cascadia. That will be followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on stage and studio, D-May features Chitra, the Girl Prince, co-directed by Sarah Jane Hardy and Anita Menon, now playing at the Northwest Children's Theater and School. At 11:30, Art Focus talks to Cole Reed, whose work is now featured in America Me, the reclamation of three black artists exhibit in Antoinette Hatfield Hall Rotunda. Today's weather calls for a cloudy day with a slight chance of rain and a high temperature of about 54.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 5th Annual Clinton Street Fat Tuesday Celebration on Tuesday, February 13th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. The Clinton Street Fat Tuesday Celebration includes screenings of the films Dry Wood and Always for Pleasure, two documentary portraits by Les Blank on Louisiana life and Mardi Gras culture. There will also be food and music. Again, that's the 5th Annual Clinton Street Fat Tuesday Celebration on Tuesday, February 13th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 6th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Community, sanctuary, solidarity at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the net. Okay. Weather first, before we get rolling, a terrific guest today. We're going to talk a little bit about the market and perhaps demystify it a little bit, at least de-sanctify it a bit. Anybody that thinks, too, that to be a good lefty, you've got to be sure that you disdain market and say you have nothing to do with it. You might not be interested in the stock market, but the stock market is very interested in you. And there is no escaping it. So don't think that ignoring something is going to make it disappear. Has never worked, never will. That said, weather never works, never will. Today, patchy fog, as you may have noticed, or not, if you're standing in a world that is completely obliterated with tiny invisible white droplets. High today around 55, and for tonight, we've got a low around 41 coming up tomorrow. Gradually becoming mostly sunny and high eventually, probably by next week, but nonetheless, highs for tomorrow around 58, and tomorrow night, cloudy with a low around 43, not much wind in any of these pictures. That said, we've got Air Cascadia trigger warnings for you. The first trigger warning for the show today is, yes, this is a real trigger I have here. And also, money is a dirty word, but little children hear it, constantly at home, in the media, both social and antisocial. So why can't we say all the other words on the air? And this too, memo, short for memorandum, and dossier, long for a really dirty word. And so if sex and vocabulary skills aren't your thing, they offend you, better start listening, because we're going to be all over them. And we're going to talk today with a very smart man who knows that the only thing that markets are better at than wealth creation is poverty creation. Yes, we've got James K. Galbraith is joining us. He is an extraordinary person, and in so many ways, at the University of Texas, Austin, he created the Inequality Project. His most recent books include Inequality, What Everyone Needs to Know, or another way of putting it, Inequality, What's in It for You? And he's subtitle of this is Welcome to the Poison Chalice. Wow, I just got a message here, which I'm going to relay on to you, the listener. Let me just start that one again. John K. Galbraith, our guest today. Most recent books include Inequality, What Everyone Needs to Know. Welcome to the Poison Chalice, the destruction of Greece and the future of Europe. Greece is still, by the way, just in case you haven't noticed, because it hasn't been on mainstream media, Greece is still in crisis, you know. I mean, we're not, just because we don't hear about it doesn't mean that it's gone away. There are many other books, many other articles, and take a look, because the Inequality Project is really the only serious effort to address the problem of inequality from the bottom line, from an economist. So that said, we do have a little bit of a weight on our hands here. Phones with the phone, so we will. I'll bring you a few of the headlines, which I really love, because they're so over the top. It's you can't make this stuff up. You really can't. You cannot stay ahead of it. Trump wasn't elected because he knew his base so well, because he really understood them, and he felt their pain, right? He felt their pain, and he understood the challenges of their lives. He understood what poverty really meant, and he didn't know any of that stuff. It was just purely a lucky shot, and he still, I would guess, and again, in addition to trigger warnings, this is a bias warning. I am biased. Of course I'm biased. You're biased. Every major and minor media outlet is biased. The only difference is that some of them will tell you straight up that they're biased, and others won't. Some of them are they're true and reliable and all that. No, they're not. They may be true and reliable to them in their own terms, but hey, they're biased, okay? So, waiting for John Galbraith, here's what we're talking about today. We're being told, of course, we're being reassured that the fundamentals are strong, because of course we don't just stampede the markets. The markets are already in turmoil. It's interesting too, from a point of view of chaos theory and the mathematics of chaos, which actually all the fractal stuff, you know, the psychedelic calendars that you buy every year, put up in the wall or the kitchen, or those spirally things, that's the Mandelbrot equation, all that. That all comes from two things that usually are conversation killers: stock markets and the weather, two areas where prediction is still spinning its wheels. But chaos theory more or less evolved, or at least was goaded into action by in an effort to predict the weather and to predict markets. So that said, once again, we hear that the fundamentals are strong, and that is irrelevant. And James Galbraith is with us right now to explain what that means. Good morning, James. Thank you so much.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. And what you just said is exactly on mark. Mandelbrot's early work that led to his development of all of these wonderful mathematical expressions was in the movement of stock prices. And he was attempting to make a point which the economics profession never took up, which is that these markets are not stable. They have a tendency to have extraordinarily large movements in very short moment periods of time, and that's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, it's a periodicity of markets, and the fact that once turbulence has been triggered, we don't have any form of an intervention that anyone, I guess, knows of.
We do. I mean, there are things that the authorities can do to try and stabilize things. But the basic point is that you can have a long run of very good, very data, very low volatility, steady growth, low unemployment, and the next day it all crumbles because if the market is seized with a moment of fear, people dump all kinds of assets, head to cash, and everybody is struggling with everybody else to get out. It is exactly the same phenomenon that you have if some people are sitting in a theater and somebody feels that there might be a fire, and they all panic, and you get more damage from the crowd than you get from the underlying event.
So is this one? It is tempting to associate this turbulence with people waking up and not just traders, but everyone across the board waking up to the fact that the in addition to markets being unstable, that the commander in chief might be a little unstable and prone to turbulence himself, and that people are beginning to think, well, the who really is in control, and is there anyone who is able to influence this administration? It's easy to tie markets, but
I'm inclined to be a little skeptical of that, because
it's too easy for starters.
Yeah, well, but what happens in these situations? First of all, it happens worldwide, and secondly, there is a flow of funds typically into the United States, into government bonds, because people are looking for a safe asset, and I don't think that's changed fundamentally in this. Just because we have the gentleman in the White House who happens to be there.
Fundamentals here, they aren't sound, are they? They're just not.
No, well, it's past performance is not an indicator of future returns. Particularly after a long period of even slow expansion, which we've seen, but a very long period of it, businesses begin to feel, okay, it's probably coming to an end, and they adjust their plans accordingly. And when that becomes a widespread sentiment, then you can get a rush to the exits in the stock market. But on top of that, there's the looming fact that the Fed has been raising rates now for a year or so and is going to do it more. And the short rates, the rates that you can get on very short-term assets, on cash essentially, are coming close to being as good as the rates you can get on a long-term bond. So who wants to be long in that situation? People come into cash. That's the motivating force here, and it's much the powerful thing driving markets at this stage.
The thing too, I wanted to ask you about is markets are great at creating wealth, but they're even better at creating poverty and inequality. Do events like this, turbulence, do they? How is there a ripple effect, and how would this be felt downstream? I try to make the point frequently with people that we may not be interested in this. Some claim to be not interested in the markets, but we are all affected whether we like it or not.
No, that's definitely true. And the fact is that we've for now many years since the 80s, we've relied on these ebb and flow of private credit of markets to drive economic growth. We haven't had a balanced program between the public and the private. And the result of that is you get a lot of instability. And so you had a big business boom in the late 1990s, information technology, and that crashed in 2000. You had a real estate mortgage finance debacle. It was basically driven by fraudulent loans, but it nevertheless generated growth up till 2007. That crashed. And then we had a recovery that was largely based on the stock market. And, you know, the stock market is unstable. It works so long as people think these assets are perfectly liquid. When they think you need to cash out, they all rush to the exits and the value falls. And that's what we're seeing. How long it will go on, who knows? But to the extent that the Fed keeps on its current course, continues rising interest rates, I expect we haven't seen the end of it.
James, thank you so much for that. I can't tell you how much we appreciate your time. I've got more questions. I would love to talk with you some more. Perhaps we can schedule that for a later date.
My pleasure. I'd be happy to.
Thank you so much. We are, KBOO constantly is in turbulence of its own and churn, and in a way we're a small system. But we want to just remind everybody out there listening that we survive based on your largesse, and without you, the listeners, without you, the members, who are generous and put in your hard-earned money into this effort, we wouldn't exist at all. You are a fundamental part of the KBOO economy, dare I say, and participating in this is contrasted with other types of